Welcome to the Best Self Podcast. Today we have got an absolute rock star. It's not because of his phenomenal beard or the Colts in the background. He's got a humongous stadium, got a humongous following back there, big city. Sean Harper, NFL veteran, keynote speaker, author, and a champion for the underdog. So excited to have you here, big dog.
Hey, you know, thank you for having me. And you know what? Could I just borrow you for a few more of those intros? That intro was fire right now. Yeah. I feel like doing some jumping jacks or push-ups right now.
Let's do sprints.
No, I didn't say sprints.
No,
I said push-ups. Okay, I'm not running. I'm a lineman.
Yeah, that's right. I left out that part. No, man, I love everything about you. I love, you know, you and I are definitely cut from the same cloth. And I love your story because you haven't had everything given to you. You haven't had everything held, you know, handed to you on a silver platter. You were, had it rough a little bit growing up. Like your dad wasn't always around.
Right.
You struggled in school. You had a stutter, and people laughed at you. I'm also a career educator, and I'm passionate about sticking up for the dude who's unjustly, you know, getting looked at with the wrong lens. And despite all that stuff, I mean, you did make it to the NFL. You are a keynote speaker. I'm just my hat's off to you. I really appreciate everything that you stand for. There's so many other people out there that don't believe they have the strength to do what you've done. And you're a great example of it can be done. So thank you, man.
You know what? Thank you. And one of the things I've learned just leaning into this awesome episode is that the big fish are in the deep. And what happens oftentimes is that, you know, in our actual formative years, you know, grade school and such, and playing on the playground, playing with your friends, you know, there's so much pressure to conform. Yeah. And once that mold is hardened after maybe the fifth, sixth, or seventh, eighth grade, and then it's to actually break out of that, it's so hard. But in order to get to the big fish, you got to go into the deep. You got to step into the unknown. You have to brave or risk being criticized or ridiculed, being laughed at. And it's so amazing to me is because when we're younger, we're often criticized for being different. But when we're older, when we become adults, we actually praise, worship, and admire people who are different. We admire the person who runs faster. We admire the individual who shoots basketball better or who's smarter in the corporate boardroom. It's crazy. That is a crazy dichotomy. But if we can actually start when we're young and separate the diversity, separate the uniqueness in each and every person, then there'll be more people walking in their purpose and their call and their destiny. And the reason why most aren't is simply they hate, they fear rejection.
Wow. You started it like that. All right, let's go.
Let's go.
What is it about that hurdle of fear? I mean, that is, and people, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, when we're younger, you don't see, you know, little kids that are learning how to walk, quit trying to learn how to walk. You don't see people that fall off their bike, quit trying to ride their bike. But as we get older, and as I kind of lent to a little bit earlier, people start looking at you differently. We start conforming. We start really, a lot of people really start worrying about what they look like, and it starts shaping their identity. How do we hurdle that fear?
Well, we actually hurdle the fear by identifying the process to entrap and entangle you. What happens is that when we're young, when we're youngins, you know, we have what I call a winning mindset. And if you look at a lot, not all, but a lot of our games growing up, it's predicated off of winning. You know, hide and seek, the last person's found win. You raced up and down the street. You know, you had your go-kart or your big wheel. You know, you played kickball. You know, everything was win. And then probably around third or fourth grade, by the time you realize that Santa Claus is not real, right? They teach you a different concept, and the concept is called success. Yeah. And in that, they hijack and they strip that away. And now they're prescribing along with the media and is telling you what success is, what success is not, is generally centered around fame, now likes on social media or money. And everything is now you're being pushed or cattle led into that direction. And if you stray off that course, then of course you're laughed at, you're rejected, and you're ridiculed, and you're pushed back on course to the point that it becomes automatic. And now everyone's running for success versus running for the win. And most people, as I mentioned, will miss it because the rejection and their drive to be successful versus the drive to win in life.
That's so good. You are the winologist.
Yes.
You are the winologist, yes, baby. Yes, the winologist. So you kind of started diving into that. What would you say the biggest, difference between winning and success is? Well, I guess I'll just let you answer that. What is the difference? What? Because a lot of people might have a hard time separating those two.
Yeah. So the thing about success that makes it so dangerous is that success is not static, which means it's always changing. You could be successful. Like when I played football, everyone on the football team was successful. 15 years later, most of them aren't because they're broke. Mm-hmm. So now they've changed the rules. So now success is not static, okay? Mm-hmm. Success is always moving. Like you can have $1 million in where I'm at in Ohio and you can be comfortable. You can have $1 million in New York and you can be broke, or in Dubai, you can be poor. You know,
right.
It's like, it's crazy. Success is always moving. Okay, now that we're programmed to run towards success, there's only a few things that we can do to achieve success and only a few roads that we can take to get to success. I'm sorry. Mainly the first one is education. You have to have certain grades. You have to be, you know, a certain affluent, you know, or come from a successful family. It, all that's crazy. But winning is totally different. Winning is the fullest expression of who you are mentally, socially, emotionally, legacy. Okay. Of course, the money and the financial, but it's basically the fullest expression of you, that you were created to win. And now you're going to push yourself past yourself and you're going to flow into the area that you were created to flow in. A lot of people are trying to become doctors and lawyers because we've been taught that that's success because that's where the money is. That's not success.
No.
Because I know a lot of doctors and lawyers who are downright depressed.
Yeah.
Because success model is based off of production. The winning model is based off of reproduction.
Yes.
There's a difference between the two. So when you're in the win game, when you're in the win mode, you are constantly reproducing, you're mentoring, you're giving out, you're sharing your gifts and your talents. So when I bite an apple, a good apple, not a GMO, but a good apple, mm-hmm. a good apple, in the flavor, there's a seed. And I'm gonna tell you, I don't know if that apple could talk or not, but that apple's not gonna be fully satisfied unless it's able to plant that seed, because that completes the cycle. It's not just production, it's reproduction. In our Western culture, man, when we get 62, we kick us away. Why? Because we're no longer able to produce at the level we produced when we were 25 and 35 and 45.
Wow. That is so good and so true. I've never put it that way before. I'm a big growth-minded guy. I'm a believer that you're always becoming. You've never become. And it's kind of what I hear you saying there. I feel like, too, if we're going to become the best version of ourselves, we have to have a sense of belonging. And I've heard you speak on this topic. Would you agree with that? Would you agree that we can't become who we are meant to be, or we can never be becoming if we don't feel like we belong?
Yeah. One of the things that I like to say is, before you can become, you have to believe, you have to be, and then you have to belong. And once you get to the area that or the portion of your life where, like, you know, I belong to something greater than me, it kills ego. It kills arrogance. It kills a lot of the pride, because you now know that you're a part of a collective. You are created to now serve. It now switches to me to give. And it's funny because a lot of, you know, affluent people, you know, they get into their 50s, 60s and 70s and they make that switch. Bill Gates, he made the switch. Mr. Carnegie, he made that switch. Kennedys, they made that switch because they realized at the end of the day, man, you know what? It's not about what I can get, it's what I can give. Warren Buffett, they all make that switch. And some of them endeavor to die broke. They don't want to have anything because I belong to something greater than me. And that creates humility, as I mentioned. It creates accountability, okay? And it creates servitude.
Mm. No better type of leadership.
Yeah, there isn't.
Freaking awesome.
And I'm sorry.
No, go. You go.
One of the things that you talked about as far as the growth mindset,
mm-hmm.
and some people right now are listening to me and they're hung up on the fact that, well, Sean, if you're talking about winning, well, that means that someone has to lose. And sometimes if you are competing, that might be the case. But in my context of winning, the greatest competitor is you.
Yep.
When you go head to head with you, when you push yourself past yourself, when you're operating in the 212 versus the 211, when you're challenging yourself, when you're hiring coaches to challenge you, that's when you're cracking the shell. You see, a seed, when a seed falls to the ground, it dies. And when it dies, it opens up. Cracking that shell, cracking you, cracking your comfort zone, cracking, you know, getting out of, you know, this is what I'm comfortable, this is what I like and what I don't like. That's why coaches are amazing, because coaches love pushing you past you. But once that happens and the seed's deposited, now you're in the win zone.
Yes, that is that. God, man, I feel like you've been diving into my dome and sucking my thoughts right out of my head.
Yes, Clarice.
That is great. So I'm with you. I mean, efforts between you and you, everything, competitions between you and you. Do you believe that competition breeds success, right?
Yes, it does.
Well, breeds winners.
Yes, I know what you mean.
Yeah,
but ultimately, the greatest competitor is you, as I mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. And I like to call that the inside game. And I kind of picked that up one day when there was a football game on TV. At the football game, mm-hmm. and there was a wide receiver, it's good wide receiver. And, you know, he had a pretty good game, you know, but he had a few drops and we won the game, but he was mad.
Right.
And then after the game, he's like, you know what? I'm not hanging out. I'm going to go practice. I got to study film. So although everyone else was congratulating him, he was mad. He wasn't satisfied because he took the game from the outside to the inside. Mm-hmm. He's like, I could have done better. And that right there, woo, that's the mark of a champion. When you're like, the inside game says, I didn't do well at all. Or the inside game says, I gave it my best and now I'm happy. I don't care about the critiques.
Boom. Boom, absolutely. And what I love about this stuff is this is cross-curricular. This is like, I mean, this translates to the office. This translates to relationships. It translates to football. I'm sure you're a big spiritual guy.
Oh yeah.
I mean, this is like a brain gym session by Sean Harper. This is good stuff.
Yeah.
Hey dude, if I'm writing a playbook based on priming my brain for winning and growth and all that stuff, and I had to develop an offensive scheme, and I wanted to know, if I'm a listener out there, how do I create the best offense for my life? How do I create the best opportunity to score wins in my life?
Well, before you do that, you have to make a decision, okay? You never manifest or attract what you want. You always attract and manifest who you are. So you have to make a decision. And the decision is that I'm a winner. and you have to tie into the primal. I mean, you got to go deep back, and you have to realize that, you know, and you've heard this, that you're 1 to 2 to 3 million sperm cells. Yeah. And you are the one that fertilized the egg. This is why you love video games. This is why you love football. This is why you people love gambling, because it's winning. It is the essence of your DNA. You are a winner. And the perspective in which you do things, it's so important. Yeah. Your mindset in which you walk into situations and circumstances is everything. And there's not enough that is really talked about that. Okay.
Right.
And so that is the first decision that you have to make, the switch, because now you begin to see things differently. You begin to look at things differently. You begin to judge things differently. Mm-hmm. And you'll see it from a different perspective, a winning perspective. So that's the biggest, that is the biggest thing you have to do, is say, no, I'm not a failure. I'm not a loser. I'm not stupid. I'm not dumb. I'm not rejected. I'm not the second best brother in the family. I'm not lazy. I am a winner now.
Yes.
But now you do what winners do, because that's who you are. You don't do what winners do because you want to become. You do what winners do because that's who you are. Mm. You're just affirming who you are. And then you get into, it's really real deep, but it's called the RAS. And so now that's what you are, and you do things that validify or confirm what you know about yourself, and it's self-perpetuating.
Mm. So good. It runs. You got to get to the point where it runs in your veins.
That's it.
You ooze it.
That's it.
Yeah. Cool. That's great. So when someone's looking to make changes, do you think that people should change their habits or change their goals first?
Wow.
Which comes first?
I would suggest in this that I would change my habits first.
Yeah, I would too.
I would change my habits, because what will happen is, you know, you are behaving because that's who you are. People are where they are in life because of who they are. And once you begin to change that, you begin to change your habits, possibly something amazing will happen. And what will happen, could possibly happen, is that your goal might change.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. And I, like I said, I think we're on the same wavelength. We're both big success road guys. Mm-hmm. And, you know, success isn't the end of the road. It is the road.
Mm-hmm.
And it ties in, all, you know, becoming and being. And
yeah.
Yeah. I'm also a believer that relationships are the true power grid in life.
Yes.
And I heard you say once, by way of investing in people, you are investing in profit.
Yes.
Is that pretty accurate?
Yes. Yeah.
So when you talk to corporations, that's really a difficult one. When I talk to people at that, you know, at those type scenarios, they have a really hard time not being fixated on the bottom line. Do you have any tricks, any tips when speaking to someone that it's so fixated on end results that they just cannot focus on the process? Is there any way to trump that with those kind of peeps, with that mindset?
So, sort of look at the end result like passive income. Okay. So let's say that you purchase a house, and now you're spending time with the tenants, and you're being a good landlord, and the relationship is strong, and the passive income is maybe a few $1,000 a month. That's the passive income. But your attention is always on the people, is always on the process, is always on the relationships. That's where you put it, and you allow that to be the fruit or the passive income. If you go out to the vineyard and all you're thinking of is, man, I'm picking grapes in the fall, and you're not spending time trimming and pruning, buddy,
right,
you're not going to have a good harvest. Put your energy on the process. And as my son's coach would always say, the process is the product.
Yes, no doubt about it.
Which is so true. I mean, I am learning so much about systems, and I mean, even now, it's like a large portion of my frustrations are because there's in certain things is because there's a breakdown in systems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What would you say the reason for those breakdowns? Is it just that they don't focus on the process at all, or they don't focus on people, or both, or?
Because we're not taught to.
Yeah.
We're not taught, you know, when you start talking like this, this is like independent thinking stuff. You know, this is the kind of stuff you think about when you want to like take over the world. Okay. And the powers that be, they don't have a vested interest in you thinking like this. In fact, you know, we talk about, and I speak a lot about team building and all. Do you know when you're taught team building or collaboration full time? A lot of times is when you're going for your master's degree. And that's all you do. They put you in a group and that's the grade. Okay, you guys work together. And yeah. You know, the secret is everyone working together. It's collaboration. No, they don't teach that in school. They don't teach you taxes in school. They don't teach you how to be a good husband or a good wife in school. Right. They don't teach you how to be a good father in school. But they're
That's
more than
crazy,
happy,
isn't it?
But they're more than happy to teach you about a present participle or a dangling participle. And they're more than happy to teach you about a backstitch in sewing class and how to make a piece out of bread.
Right. Yeah. Isn't that nuts? Isn't it nuts that we can go K through 12 and not have one class on thinking you how to help you think like a winner, but you got every other content area out there, but yeah.
You learn the same four or five subjects 12 years in a row.
Yep. Yeah. I have this conversation frequently. I don't understand how we can go all of that, all of those years. And this is in any country. I mean, we have 52 countries listing right now.
Wow.
And I haven't spoken to someone on this topic and them said, you know what we do this. Now there are some like charter schools and different schools that are starting to branch out and do some things. But yeah, it's crazy to me that most public schools anyway, don't teach you how to think. That's awesome, buddy. So if I were to say to you, it takes no special ability to blank, what would you like say that?
It doesn't take no, I mean, this is kind of a radical answer, but it doesn't take a special skill to live. You just breathe in and out. But if you want all that you have or the calling that God has for you, if you want to win, if you want to dominate, it's all skill. It's skill, it's resilience, it's grit.
That's great. Do you believe that it's more important to be willful or skillful?
Wow. Wow.
Would you rather be surrounded by a bunch of dudes on your roster that have a strong will or have strong skill?
Will, because we can learn the skill.
Yeah.
That resilience, that drive, that tenacity, it's that makes up for a lot. I've met a lot of skillful people playing sports and they're lazy.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. They're like prima donnas, you know? Like, yeah. No, I don't care. You know, I'm performing just enough, you know,
to get that next contract.
Yeah. Just enough. Yeah.
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 No, I'm with you that I would rather be next to a bunch of dudes that are going to throw proverbial haymakers for two halves or four quarters or a work day than a bunch of guys that I was once. So a long time ago, I had this coach tell me that he'd rather have a roster full of jackasses that he has to tame than a bunch of mules that he has to kick to get to work.
Right.
And that's always stuck with me. So, man, dude, we are smoking this thing. We're going to be done here in the next 5 minutes. Then we're kicking Harper Nation out of here.
Pyong.
You have any, on a lighter note, you have any cartoons that your kids watched growing up?
God, Jesus, man, we were just having this conversation. And my son's like freaking out over there right now. Just okay. So any conversation, any cartoons that he watched growing up?
Well, let's go with two. Like one, what is one that you are going to admit right here on the show that you loved? Your kid watched it and you loved it. You were actually part of you was looking forward to it. Let's hear it.
I don't think he liked anything that I liked.
Wow.
But growing up for me, I love Transformers.
Yes.
Yeah, that was the one, like Omega Supreme, I mean, Optimus, and oh man, Galvatron. Oh, yeah. Dude, I was all up into some Transformers. I thought I was a Transformer.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
My very son, cool. his is like Pokemon and Ben 10.
Yeah.
And you know, like daggone Power Rangers part 1 through 50. You know, the same guy. I mean, it's the same. I mean, they're fighting the same character. You know, they just like this. Just change up something, and you know they have like the Zinc Ranger, the Blue Ranger, and it's the same storyline. I mean, I watch it. I'm like, okay, this is what's going to happen, son, because I'm seeing it back in 1985. The Red Ranger appears. You know, it's just like, oh Jesus,
that's great, nice. I did want to just before we only have a couple minutes. We didn't go over your entire story at the front end. You did struggle early on. You weren't like, you weren't going to make the cover of the magazine coming out of high school. You didn't play a snap your first year of JC college football. And then, you had this mind shift and you end up playing with, I think you got drafted in 92 by the Rams.
92 draft. Yep.
And then you were with Oilers and the Colts, and now look at where you're at. But you had said that you had a mind shift between your first and second year of college. Could you just run down, because there's a lot of people out there that are struggling to find their identity right now, and there's a lot of people that are just like you. I've seen them. I've had them across the table from me that struggle with their identity. Kind of like what we said before, they're basing on what other people are doing, laughing at their stutter, laughing at the fact that they don't like to speak in front of people, starting to begin to believe that they're actually not good enough. What was it that worked for you that can maybe inspire them?
Well, I made a decision. I said, there's, according to society, there's no way that I can be successful. I don't have the grades. I don't have the network. I was horrible in football. I said, but I can win. And we've been talking about this the entire time. Mm-hmm. And once I made that switch in my mind, I began to, for you old schoolers, I began to MacGyver life, right? I began to look at things totally different. And I began to say, okay, if I'm going to win, I have to do what winners do. And so winners always stand out. So I found ways to stand out. Like I went back to junior college, 4 months earlier. I trained twice a day. I took summer courses. I took 22 credit hours in one semester to graduate early. Why? Because winners stand out. Okay. I came out a semester early. So all the other offensive linemen coming out in May, I'm that much more marketable because I forced myself to stand out. Winners basically stand out.
Yeah.
And so how can I stand out? I went from not starting to, being in the Junior College Hall of Fame the next year, because I found a way to stand out on the field and off the field. And I got noticed.
Yeah. That is awesome. You dug deep. You took the extraordinary that was already inside you, and it was a decision. You made a decision. Yeah.
Sure did.
Cool. Well, hey buddy, you got 30 to 45 seconds to talk to 5 continent wide. Whether they like the Colts in your background or not, you're going to have to do it regardless. 30 to 45 seconds to talk to our listeners about how can they out-improve their previous best self?
By getting back on the bike. What I mean, stop. No. I tell you what, this is how you can do it. I mentioned moving into the 212. And what I mean by that is that at 211 degrees, water is water. At 212 degrees, that water boils. Boiling water has changed the world. In order to get into the 212, you need somebody in your life other than you to push you, to call the king out of the kid, to antagonize you, get a coach, get someone that you are competing with, somebody that you're running up against, and take yourself to the next level by allowing someone else to call it out of you. Stop trying to do it all yourself. Build community through connection, and that's how you can win.
Oh, good. All right, I'll officially still talk to you following this interview, but only because of the last 30 to 45 seconds.
I'll take it.
Have a good one.
Take care.
Have a great day.
Yes, sir.